Yeah, so the topic of the shiur is paying in halacha, and as we saw, nobody knew exactly what I was planning on talking about. Paying, according to Google and many other dictionaries, including the Webster Dictionary, is the act of taking some type of pie and putting it in a first person's face. That's paying. And as a matter of fact, there's an art to paying. Just interesting enough, you know, like if you ever see a clown pie, another one, chances are it's not whipped cream, because whipped cream stains and it's hard to get out. They use shaving cream, which washes off very quickly. But anyways, there's a whole art to pieing. As a matter of fact, you hold it at some angle and you turn a different angle and you put it in, you turn once, you turn twice, and you pull it away. Whatever. But there's an act called pieing. Huh? Well, I can tell you in the Torah where it says you're not allowed to do it. Shaving cream is a half a problem. But we're going to talk a little bit about bizui ochlin, disgracing or not having the appropriate respect for food. So let's see where this whole sugya starts. Actually, the whole sugya starts on Daf Nun Amud Beis, so in a short period of time, those very diligent Daf Yomi learners are going to learn this Gemara, and they'll be like, I heard that Gemara somewhere. Do I really remember it from the last time I learned Daf Yomi? No, you heard it here. So anyways, this is the Gemara in Meseches Brachas on Daf Nun Amud Beis. The Gemara says like this, Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, Yayin atshelo nasan letocho mayim, wine, if you didn't dilute it with water, because we know in those days they would dilute the wine 1 to 3 parts. 1 part water, 1 part wine, 3 parts water. Yeah, mezika means to dilute the wine. So before that, aim of varach labor priya gafen, you don't make a gafen, it's not considered wine yet. A labor priya eats. Make bor priya eats. Vinotlin mi manuli a dime, and you could use it to wash your hands in the tilasi a dime. Misha nasan the sochomayin, once you have water, mevarach labor priya gafen, vein notlin mani a dime. Once you diluted it and it's now fit to be drunk, you can no longer, you make a gafen, but you can no longer wash your hands in the tilas yadayim. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, these are the words of Rabbi Eliezer. V'chacham said, benkach o benkach, mevarim v'chan ala bar priya gafen. Regardless, if it's diluted or not, you make a gafen. V'ein notlin haymenu l'adayim. And you cannot wash your hands with this wine. Machlokas, according to the Rabbi Eliezer, you can wash your hand with undiluted wine. According to the Rabbanan, you can never, according to the Chacham, you're not allowed to wash your hands with wine, period.
Whether it's cut or not.
The Chacham say you make a guffin regardless if it's concentrated or not. He says you make a eitz. You make a eitz. Says the Gemara. Kaman az lahadam ar Shmuel. This statement of Shmuel that said, Osa adam kol tzrach of the pas. A person could use bread for any of his needs. Who is that like? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer. It's like Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer say, Rabbi Eliezer says that undiluted wine, you can use that to wash your hands. So he holds you can use bread for whatever you want to use the bread for. Okay. Says the Gemara a little bit further. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis taught. Dalid dvarim nemru bepas. They said 4 things about bread. Ein manichim basar chay ala pas. You're not allowed to put raw meat on the bread. You don't want to put it down on the counter, so you put it on a piece of bread. You're not even allowed to pass a full cup over the bread because it may spill and ruin the bread. You're not allowed to throw bread. This they taught us when we were kids. You can't use bread as a trivet. So you have a hot pot, and there's a lot of hot pots in East Brunswick. Chinese this, Chinese that, hot pot. But you have a hot pot, you're not allowed to put it on top of a bread, a piece of bread, as a trivet, you know, to just keep it. Says the Gemara, Amei Marzut Rav Ravashi Karchu Rifta Bad Yadadi, Amei Marzut Rav Ravashi, they're all eating together. Aizla Kameh Tami Verimoni, they brought them dates and pomegranates. Shaka Marzutra Pasak Lekameh Ravashi, Distina. So Rav Huna went, and he threw a piece of meat to Ravasi. Amalei says, Lo Sovet, don't you hold the Tani in Zerken Sa'ochlin? How can you throw meat? Now I'll throw food. So he says, no. Habepas. Prohibition of throwing food? Bread. Meat you could throw. So you could throw a meat ball. Right? That's what it seems like from here. It reminds me when I was a child one time, I was having a catch with my brother. And I was having a catch with my brother. And we were throwing a punch ball to one another. And I was eating a plum. And all of a sudden I realized that I bit into the ball and I threw the plum. It happens. That's when a man tries to do 2 things at the same time. Just how it is. Okay, so Mar asked a question. Vatanya, shame shein zarkin esapas, kachin zarkin esaochin. How we learned that you're not allowed to throw food, any food. This is Mar Vatanya, but we learned, abishin zarkin esapas, abo zarkin esaochin. that you're only not allowed to throw bread. So how do we rectify this? Elokasha. Habe mini de mimis, habe mini de lo mimis. The bottom line is, says the Gemara, if it's something that when you throw it, it gets disgusting. For example, the Rashi says if you have figs that are very ripe, you throw them, or strawberries, they're going to get ruined, then no food. You're not allowed to throw any food. But if it's something that doesn't get mimis, then halacha is you're allowed to throw it. That's what the Gemara says. Well,
so I suppose you can't use bread to wipe your hands. Like,
no, you shouldn't use bread to wipe your hands.
Nuts.
Yeah, nuts would be... Nuts would be some... Wait, next Gemara. Turn Rabbanan. Mamshichir yayim betzinoros nufnei chasim v'nufnei kala. In those days, they used to have fountains. They had wine in them. So you're not using wine to drink. They're just using it for ornamental purposes. So halacha is you're allowed to do that. Kloyos v'agozim v'zorkin lufneihem. And we throw in front of the chasen and the kala, kloyos ve'agozim, nuts and toasted grain, bimosa chama. You can do that in the summer. Avalo bimosa gshamim. But you can't do it during the rainy season because they're going to land on the floor and get all mushy, and you won't be able to use them anymore. Avalo glusko, says the Gemara, but you're never allowed to throw rolls. Lo bimosa chama, avalo bimosa gshamim. You're not allowed to throw rolls, even during the summer months, because they land on the dusty floor and they get ruined. So that's a whole long Gemara about this. Okay, let's go a little bit further. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, one more Gemara. Right. This Gemara doesn't. Well, the end of the Gemara is Baal Tashmis. Because that. No. Because it says you can't throw it during the winter season because it's going to get ruined. It's not a problem about throw. We're saying you're allowed to throw it if it's not going to get ruined. So it's about Baal Tashmis. It's about Baal Tashmis. But we'll see soon. You're bringing up a good point. There's going to be two distinct lines of halacha here, and we'll see when we get a little bit further. I want to bring one more Gemara. The Gemara says, "Bo menei Rav Sheshes." They asked Rav Sheshes, "Mahu liftsoa zeisim b'Shabbos? Are you allowed to throw olives on a stone on Shabbos? If you have olives that are bitter, throwing them against a hard surface releases, I guess, certain whatever it is, juices, and it makes the olives a little bit more." A little less sour, more palpable.
Probably tenderizes.
Maybe that's what it does. Amar lahu v'chi b'chol mihi tiru. So he said to him, why are you asking if you're allowed to do that on Shabbos? You're not allowed to do it in the weekday either. Because someone says, no, mishum hefsed ochlin. No. The reason I'll usually throw it is because you're going to ruin it. But here you're not doing it to ruin it, so you're doing it to be good, to make it better. So Mar says, during the weekday, you for sure could do it, but on Shabbos, it's a question, because until that point, it's not edible. You're turning it into something edible, so you're being misake in something, you're rectifying, fixing something, making it fit. Could be that's a problem on Shabbos. That was his shayla. So Gemara, says Gemara, does he argue on Shmuel? Shmuel says that you're allowed to do anything with bread. So what's your issue of Hefsed Ochlin, that you're going to ruin something? So Gemara says, no. Says the Gemara, unless there's a good reason you're not going to throw olives because they're going to get a little bit smashed. But bread doesn't get so badly ruined. So that's these Gemaras tiptoeing about around a lot of different interesting things. So now halacha, how do we paskin? What's the halacha lamaisa? So Tosvos brings the shita of Rabbeinu Chananu that we don't paskin like Shmuel because the halacha is like the opinion of the Rabbanu, the Chachamim that we had that said ain not only a dime. B'ayin. The Chacham say you're not allowed to use wine, period, to wash your hands. So says Rabbeinu Chananu, we paskin that, like the more strictly, that you're not allowed to use food for anything besides eating. However, Tosos himself and Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rajba, in the name of Rav Haigon, they paskin like Shmuel, which is more lenient. Shmuel says, Osad Makal Terachal Bepas, you could do whatever you want with bread. And for the Gemara Masechah Shabbos, however, it seems that even according to Shmuel, that says you're allowed to do things, but if it's going to become disgusting, the halacha is, you're not allowed to. Okay, so the psak, according to most, the majority of the Rishonim over here, is that, like Shmuel, that Shmuel says you're allowed to use food for other things. However, Shmuel would agree that if I'm using your food for a different purpose, it's going to get ruined, disgusted. Then even Shmuel says that it's prohibited.
Washing your hands.
Yeah?
You'd be allowed to, though. It's disgusting, it's going to get ruined.
Right, so I mean, so why would Rabbi.
Why would he allow that?
No, but that's what we're saying. Shmuel doesn't pass. According to Shmuel's opinion, it's not permissible. It means to say Shmuel's or Amora, right? And Shmuel says you're allowed to do whatever you want with bread. But that's only when the bread doesn't get disgusted. Same thing is with wine. If the wine gets disgusted, Shmuel would pass and you can't use it for your hands.
Shmuel would pass
like Rabbi Lazar when it comes to wine. So that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. He's like a hybrid. On one hand, he holds that you could do, so that's not like the Chachamim. But on the other hand, he goes, if it's going to get ruined, you can't use it. Okay. Now the Gemara says like this. Tosfos says like this. Ein ochlin, ochlin ba'ochlin. Ein ochlin, ochlin ba'ochlin. It brings your Shami. You can't use food using food. We'll see soon the halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. That means that, you know, they have chocolate spoons. Are you allowed to use food to be your spoon? Or, you know, you go sometimes...
Bread bowls.
You have onion soup. So your Shami writes, ain't ochlin, ochlin, ba'ochlin. You're not allowed to do that. However, Tosfos points out...
You're going to eat it as well?
Oh, so Tosfos says, if you're going to eat that as well, it's not such a problem for a person to do that. But we'll see if we have a chance. Right, taco bowls for the salads. So halacha is like this. You should eat from it, or else you shouldn't be using it. And as a matter of fact, the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, I'm going to give an example because this is an easier example to understand. Let's say when we were kids, we used to take a Twizzler, bite off both ends, and we would use it as a straw.
That would eat it. That would be better.
So the halacha is like this. It's mutter to do that if you're going to end up eating the Twizzlers. But the Mishnah Berurah says it's better to do it that every time that you take a swig, you should bite a little bit of the Twizzler. Okay. So you're eating the... So he says, the example he uses is a person who has a piece of bread, and he's using the bread to scoop something out. Every time that he shouldn't just lick off whatever he's using to scoop out. He should take a little bite each time, so you're not using ain't ochlin, ochlin, but ochlin. That's what the
Mishnah Berurah... Bread, all food, you're saying.
Yeah, all food.
But bread would be stricter with, wouldn't you?
It seems from some opinions of the Gemara.
You said those four things, you can't use it as a trivet, you can't use... I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely a level of bread which we'll see is different than other food. We will see some examples where bread is stricter than other food. So now, how about the Shulchan Aruch? So Shulchan Aruch, l'maisa, l'alacha, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, that Isa Adam Tracha Bepas... The paskins like Rav Haigon, that you're allowed to do whatever you want with bread. Vahani mili, however, delo mitmisi, that it doesn't become ruined. Ava mili demis be lo, but something that becomes ruined, you're not allowed to. Hilkach, emanichala basar chai, you can't put raw meat on it, and he goes through all the rest of them. So Shmuel would agree that those things which ruin them, Shmuel would hold halachas that you're not allowed to do. Einot lai daim biayin. You're not allowed to wash your hands with wine, according to Shmuel's opinion, etc., etc. V'ein zarkin es hapas mishum bizayon ochlin. You shouldn't throw bread because it's bizayon ochlin. It's disgraceful to do such a thing. Shem shein zarkin es hapas kachin zarkin ochlin anim asim ha'idei zrika. Avon mirin zilom mimis kagon agozim v'rimonim v'chabushim shari. So he says like this, that halacha is that you're not allowed to throw any food that's going to get ruined. But it seems from here that you shouldn't throw bread, period. Not even whether it gets disgusted or it doesn't get disgusted. Ein zorken apas mishum bizayon ochlin. A person shouldn't throw the bread because of bizayon ochlin. And the Beis Yosef says, because bread is more chashiv. So then even if it's not going to become disgusting, a person should not throw bread. So you shouldn't throw a roll, a piece to somebody, hey, catch. Even if the guy's going to catch it, nothing's going to happen to it. Or it's on the table. We don't throw bread. I remember as a kid, my parents, that was a bechirach that we got as a kid, we don't throw bread. And it's from the Tzalach and Shulchan Aruch that we don't throw bread. Now this is a problem, because I happen to know some people personally, that at the Shabbos table, they throw challah. And it's a mechaber. We all know someone who does that. It's a mechaber.
So it's a svardim.
I know a svardi guy that does it. Svardim are the ones that do it, but the mechaber says not to. It's not the Ramah. And then the Mechaber is a Svardi posik. He's the Beis Yosef. And he's the one that explains that it's Bizayon Ochlim. So where does this come from to be able to throw bread? So if we have time at the end, there is a Limud Tzchus. There is a way to justify it, perhaps. But, you know, I know even at my own Shabbos table, like if I kid's sitting three over and I want to, you know, do my wife say, don't throw the bread, you know. Put on a piece of plate and we'll pass it. Put the piece on a plate and we'll pass it. She's right. Okay. Now why? What's the yisod of the isser? So in Maseches Tainis there, the Gemara says like this. Every Erev Shabbos, Rav Huna would send a shliach to the marketplace right before Shabbos to buy out all the vegetables that were left over in the marketplace. And then he would take them and he would dump them in the river. So he would pay for them. And he would take them and he would dump them in the river. Why? So the Gemara says... Because what was going to happen if they leave it there? The animals are going to come to eat it. And the halacha is that food that's fit for human consumption is not allowed to be given to an animal. So he would pay money to get it, and then he would dump it in the river. Now, Rashi does say that the vegetables would float down the river, and people, it wasn't a total baltashkes. But the Gemara says that that's what he used to do. So there does imported Rashi, because this Rashi is really, I guess, where halacha starts in this sugya. So Rashi says like this. Rashi gives two reasons of why it would be a problem, perhaps, for a person to throw out food. So Rashi says two things. Number one, Rashi says, Mishum bizui ochlin. Rashi says, why are you not allowed to give food that's fit for human consumption to an animal? Number one, says Rashi, Mishum bizui ochlin. You're disgracing the food. To have the michsi, because it appears, Kiboei pakarish baruchu betove sheishpia la'olam. It's as if you're punting Hashem. Kaviyacha. You're pushing God away. You gave me such amazing food, I'm going to give it to my dog. So that's the first reason. The reason that halacha is that you're not allowed to give food that's... Hello, I'm thinking about that. This is the whole shiur. You know, I know a lot of people that their dogs like Chavez chicken. Someone told me their dog likes to give filter fish. It's a high mission dog. But it barks. It doesn't say, you know, it doesn't say ooh. It says e. Anyways, it's not a poodle, it's a beetle. It's a beetle. Anyways,
on the floor.
Huh? Anyways, so the Rashi there says that when a person feeds their animal, it's like Hashem, you know, I'm giving him food to my animal. Rashi gives another reason, Mishum dechasa Torah amaman anshei Yisrael. That the Torah was concerned about the money of Klal Yisrael. And therefore, when we have food, we have something that's fit for human consumption, we make sure it's eaten by humans, and we don't push it any further. That's the two reasons of Rashi. So when the Achronim speak about this, they explain that really what comes out of Rashi is like this. There's two separate ideas or concepts in this sugya of buying or using food for anything really. Number one is hefsed ochlin, ruining food. Food that's fit for human consumption, then the halacha is, you're not allowed to ruin it. And that's even if you do it in a respectful way. Not like you're throwing it on the floor. You're wasting. Like we had last week. Bal tashchis. If food is fit for human consumption, even if you waste it in a respectful way, the halacha is you're not allowed to do that. Not giving it to human beings is considered wasting it. However, there's another concept of bizoy ochlin. Even in a situation, for whatever the reason is, you're allowed to discard food. We'll see some situations. But you need to do it in a respectful way. So there's what I want to call wasting and disgracing. Two different concepts that you have to consider when it comes to the way we treat any type of food. A, are we wasting it? And even if we're not wasting it, are we disgracing it? So let's go and see a little bit of a nafkamina between these two reasons or applications that we need both of these for. Number one, the Pre-Megadim writes, let's say you have food that you're not allowed to eat. Worse than that. You have food that's asar behana'ah. Okay, so you cook meat and milk together. Not only you're not allowed to eat it, you're also not allowed to derive any benefit, right? Basar b'chalav is asar b'hana'ah. It's asar to have benefit from it. So now you have to dump it. You're not allowed to dump it in a disrespectful way. You're not allowed to give it to your dog. Anyways, you're not allowed to give it to your dog because then you're benefiting from it. Why? Because that is not a risk. If you want to dump it down the toilet, for example, now dump it down the toilet. Why? If it's just because of Baal Tashchis that you're wasting, you're not wasting. You can't eat it anyways. But because there's this idea or this concept of not, you know, getting rid of food, in a, not disgracing food, you need to get rid of it, but you have to do it in a respectful manner. So that's the Prima Gati. Now,
what's a respectful manner?
We'll talk about it. Similarly,
is this food that's still Roy L'Achila?
Yes, Roy L'Achila. It's not Roy L'Achila for you. But it's still Roy L'Achila.
Not like sour chicken soup.
Yeah, that we'll talk about that. That you can discard. That's not a problem. Chicken soup for sure. Similarly, the hapsak halacha is that if let's say you need something for refuah, for healing, you make penicillin. You're allowed to mold your bread. I don't know. Could you make penicillin from moldy bread? That's what they say. Maybe the first batch of penicillin. It was Pasi Sro. I don't know. You know. Anyways, because halacha is in that situation, number one, you're not wasting it. You're using it for refuah. Number two, that's not a bizayon. That's not disgrace. You're using it to help a person.
You're actually elevating it.
Yeah, maybe you're even elevating it. And there's an interesting shot which we said last week also. How about chumrah? Let's say, for example, you know, your minhag is, we said this in last week's share, your minhag is that you don't sell actual chametz, right? There's a machlok is a minhagim of what we do if we sell chametz itself. So let's say your minhag is not to sell chametz, gamur, real chametz. And you realize you have a bottle of scotch. And you want to pour it down the drain. Why do that? So halacha is the poskim, and we saw last week it's better not to. Right? We know we saw last week you're allowed to do it. Here the halacha is, the poskim say as well, that that's not called bizayon, because it's keeping halacha. It's definitely not called wasting, because you're using it for a purpose. Now maybe should you give it to someone, I don't know. If you hold it, not allowed to sell it, it's asar and hana. I'm not so sure that's its own shayla. We'd have to figure that out. Anyways, where he says like this.
It's asar and hana on Pesach. Before Pesach, you could sell it.
No, but yeah, we're talking. No, some people. You have Pesach passed, and after Pesach, you have the bottle. The you find the bottle.
Right.
So, what do you do in that situation? Okay. Or interesting, shalat bidan halacha. I think this is in the Shevet Halevi. A fellow who he fasts Mondays and Thursdays. Just to give you perspective, my great grandmother fasted every Monday and Thursday. She wasn't a Rebbetzin or anything. She was a regular woman. She fasted every Monday and Thursday, and in her town, in Pressburg, where she lived, if you came into the SS Nashon, the women's gallery, they had rows of seats, and there was one gap. She had her seat taken out of the shul. She said, how could you sit when you talk to Hashem? She stood at all davening, every davening. Mm-hmm. Well, this woman, I think she davened the minyan all the time. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'm going to take out B's seat. So, halacha is that, let's say you're fasting. You don't want people to know, and you're at a simcha, and they serve you a portion. So you feel bad telling them I'm fasting. Well, don't look, you toss it out. Halachically, you're allowed to do that. Which is interesting. I mean, because we don't consider that wasting. Because it's preserving your minhag. It's preserving your halacha. Okay. Now, l'chara is going to be another nafkamina, and that is, what's the shiur? What's the minimum amount? Because in halacha, we have shiurim, right? Maybe b'dievet, you shouldn't do it at all. How much food is considered within these parameters? So it'll really depend. If you say it's because of wasting food, if you say it's because you're wasting food, then the halacha is that you're disgracing food, then a shear will be kezias. Why? Because anything related to food is kezias. But if you say it's because the Torah didn't want us to waste money, so what's the shear going to be? A pruta, a shava pruta, not a kezias. So I think because we have both reasons, we have to be machmir. And if it's worth a shava pruta, which is a small amount, of 10 cents, talach is, you're not allowed to throw it out even if it's smaller than a kezias. And if it's worth less than a pruta, but it's a kezias, then talach is, you're probably not allowed to do it either, because we paskin like both of these reasons. Okay. Just a few interesting halachas that pertain to this, and we're not going to have a chance to do everything, but
leftovers has got to be a big problem.
Right, so the Michas Yitzchak, who was the dayan of the Bedatz in Yerushalayim. The Michas Yitzchak has a very big chiddush which helps this out a lot. And he says that the ither of hashchasa, of destroying food, is dafka bekum ba'asei. It's only proactively. However, b'shev ve'al tasa, which means leaving it somewhere, the halacha is, that is there's no ither of bal tashchis, of wasting food in that situation. So therefore, if you leave food to ruin, once it becomes ruined, you can throw it out.
Not food anymore.
Or they say, if you make a simcha and there's food on the table, so much food on the table, if you don't throw it out yourself, you're not throwing out food. If you just wait and the guy comes and he cleans everything up, the mechatzitza kol, that's not a problem. And the question gets even more complicated. We said this last week, where you have a simcha, they have a lot of leftover food, Steve Moskos, right? You have a lot of leftover food in the kitchen. So the caterer, could he chuck it? So if the guy comes and chucks it, maybe that's less of an issue. But Lamaisa, poskim say that one really should try to give the food to appropriate places. However, if it's going to cost money, there's more room for leniency. If it's going to cost money, it's going to be expensive to get rid of the food, particularly if it's going to be cost more money than the actual food is used, it's worth itself. And it's not active, it's passive, then the Michas Yitzchak holds that one could do it. And that's, I guess, the Limud Zchus and all these caterers that chuck food out. I've seen camp. It's so painful. So painful to see how much food gets thrown out. Thousands of pounds. Thousands. And I was like, you know, kids from spoiled families who are, the food in where I, the camp I go to, the food is off the charts. Just to give perspective, the cook in camp runs a Pesach program. So his name is Chef Flom. And he makes Dougie stuff they call Fluggies. Flom's Dougies. Anyways, but the food's amazing. And the kids just like, you know, they bring all their own food. They go to the canteen and at the end of the meal, he has to make enough food for everybody. He has to make, well, at least a portion for everybody. He makes two portions for everybody. And just at the end of the meal sometimes you just see them chucking everything out. It's just, I mean, to me it hurts.
They don't have a tongue. They don't have
in the camp.
Sheep is up there? I'm sure they...
I don't know. In the summer in the Catskills, I'm not sure.
It doesn't last. You probably have to.
Yeah, and it's hot outside, so like, you know, where are you going to keep? Doesn't have room in his fridge. Anyways, okay. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Kuf Pei that even though it's permissible, so let's say, here's a really important halacha. And this halacha which applies to each and every one of us at our Shabbos tables, at our regular tables. So what happens at the end of the meal at your Shabbos table? So Baruch Hashem was so kind and he invented something called plastic table covers. Those clear plastic table covers. So at the end of the meal, we clean up. Now, if there's bread left on the table, can you throw it out? So the halacha is like this. If you have piru, in the Shulchan Aruch writes, if you have crumbs that are less than a kezias, the halacha is that you're allowed to throw them out. So he writes, however, writes in the Chaber, Aval pi shemuter la'abe pirurin she'en b'am kezayis, even though it's permissible, mikol makom kasha le'anius. It's bad for, it's a bad simon for a person and it could cause poverty. Now the Mishnah Berurah qualifies, the Mishnah Berurah says, as dafka lidros aleim, that it's not to throw them out, it's to step on them. Stepping on crumbs, even if they're a small amount, that's kasha le'anius. Aval kisha mashlicha l'mayim, but let's say you throw crumbs into the water. Even though they're getting ruined, ain chashash, no problem if it's less than a kezias. V'yesh machmirin, there are those astringent sheyesh harbei pirurin, but it's starful a kezias. So if you have a small bunch of small pieces of challah on your kitchen on your table, and you chuck and you want to just throw it into the garbage, maybe that could be a problem. That could be an issue. The poskim say that the best thing to do in such a situation is if you have challah left over, and you're not going to save it for the next day, is to put it into a plastic bag. And at least dispose of it in a respectful way. It's like, we know it's halacha also by certain shemus. Depending on what the shemus are, you're really allowed to throw them out. But we don't throw them directly into the garbage. That's a disgrace. We put them into a bag and we put it into the garbage. So therefore, lemaisa, if you are throwing out crumbs, it's better to put them into a plastic bag. Could be the plastic tablecloth counts as a bag. I don't know. That's a question that needs to be flushed out a little bit. Now, halacha is also, when we speak about not throwing out food, that's only if it's ready, if it's fit to be eaten. But if it's moldy, the halacha is you could throw out food and you don't have to put it into a plastic bag. It's not an issue whatsoever.
This is individual challah rolls at like Sheva Brachos.
They chuck them all out.
It's very bad.
It's very bad. I agree with you. There's so much waste. Every simcha, there's so much waste. And just to give perspective, my grandmother, when they would finish a jar of jam, she would take a fork and a piece of bread and wipe it until there was nothing left. And she told me one time, she says, because when I was in Auschwitz, I one time found behind where the Nazi officers stayed in their garbage, she found an empty jar of jelly. And there was a drop left. And she said it was the most amazing thing that she had to eat in 2 or 3 years. So she says, I can't throw that in the garbage. You know? Anyways. Okay. Now, I'll tell you a fascinating application of this halachically. So my daughter's school, they do something, kishut akita, which means to say that every class decorates their classroom. And they usually do it the week, 2-3 weeks before parent-teacher conferences. So when you come in, you can tour the classrooms. And it is brilliant. They don't decorate it with streamers. It's themes, like themes of Shir HaShirim and Koheles and Midrashim. It's brilliant. It's brilliant how they do it. So one class decided that they want to do barley art. Barley art. I've never heard of this. But basically, you buy a lot of barley and you make a tremendously large piece of paper and you glue barley. Some barley gets painted, some doesn't. It's very cool. You can make really amazing types of waves and all kinds of things using the barley. Anyways, this one very firm girl in the class, and she tells her parents, we're doing barley art. And the father's like, I'll do barley art. I'll use food for other things.
Macaroni.
The school had ordered macaroni or beans.
We discussed this a couple years ago. Yeah,
maybe we did. Anyways, and the school said They asked the Shaila from one of the poskim in Lakewood, and he said, I'm sorry. And they couldn't do it. So the school had cases of barley. So they sold them off, like, to the parents for cholent and, you know, stuff like that. But Lamaisa, it's not pashat halachically to do any type of art with food that's fit to be eaten. So banana. You guys remember that was in the news? The banana, how much was that art?
Oh, yeah. With the duct tape banana.
Yeah, duct tape banana. But bean art. That's like, we used to do in camp all the time. You're not supposed to do bean art. And as a matter of fact, the Piskei Tshuvos brings down, he says, nowadays you go to any fancy simcha and they have these elaborate displays of fruit art. You ever see what they do with those watermelons? Breathtaking. And he's really concerned about that. Because first of all, when they carve, they just throw it all out. No one sits there and eats all the watermelon. They throw it out. And when they make all types of food and vegetable decorations, and there are pieces that come off of it, gets chucked into the garbage. You're not allowed to do that.
No, but they should be.
Okay, but that's not so bad. A radish rose, or at least putting out, someone could eat it. It's on the platter. Here, no one's eating the kishutim. No one's eating the different, you know, ornaments that are out there.
Yeah, I don't understand why the guy allows the wine.
No, oh, so the post can point out that the wine doesn't fall on the floor. At the end of the chasana, they drink it.
They drink it.
But they are using it for a non-food perspective. Now, the Piskei Tshuvos brings on the bottom over here like this. Ulai yesh lomok tzas chus al kol advarim ha-mavuaren kan. Maybe, Lamaisa, you do see food art all over the place, and you see schools that do art with beans and macaroni and pasta and all those different things. Maybe there's a way to kind of be melamed tzchus, to at least, you know, show some merit. Al pi ha-svara. Shederach ha-olam lasos king. Because that's become a norm of things that people do with food. Tetzor shi ha-davar shu tzorach ha-adam. He says, Efshir denoi v'yofi nami have a begetter tzorach ha-adam. Ukud ha-chazinon, mizil ha-fakarka, b'yayin v'sichas ha-guf, b'yayin v'shem tzor charmei l'no v'yofi. He says, it seems like Mar multiple times that they would smear themselves with oils that were edible. Or with wine, even. Mara speaks about smearing oneself, pouring wine on oneself. What do you mean? It could be eaten. The answer is that if the human being is getting hana out of it, could be that that's not considered bizoy, that's not considered disgrace. Because if he wants to say that maybe that's where it comes from, that you don't find that we stop all the caterers from doing all these amazing food decorations, even though it's not going to be eaten, because could be aesthetic pleasure is in the kalal of human benefit or human pleasure. But then on the bottom, he brings down here a Gemara Meseches Psachim Brachos and Chulin. The Gemara says there was a fellow that the Malach Hamemuna Alanius, the angel that's appointed on poverty, he makes people poor. He was chasing after him to make him poor, and he couldn't catch up to him. One day, the fellow was eating bread outside, and some of the crumbs fell into the grass. And this Malach said, "Oh, now I'm going to get him." Because if he's gonna not be careful with those crumbs, I'll have a Pesach, I'll be able to get in, I'll be able to make him poor. What did he see? The fellow cut the grass down to the roots, and he took it and he threw it into the river. When the Malach heard, he heard the Malach saying, "Ay ve, poor me, you know, I'm not gonna be able to get this guy." So on one hand, we find that the Gemara set speaks about how important it is, and the Zohar writes, "Hazorek purei lechem." If a person throws crumbs, the Zohar writes, he causes himself to be navanad, not to be settled anywhere. It causes a person poverty, and he doesn't leave the world until he has to come on to other people for his parnasa. However, interestingly enough, also the Chassam Sofer writes that the Chassam Sofer would make sure on Shabbos when there was crumbs on his challah board, he would eat it, and he told his talmidim that it is a segula for zikaron, for remembering things. I mean, if you have a crummy memory, I'm not sure how that works. But we see that there is a thing of not throwing out bread or being even meticulous or more careful. So there's also one or two more things which the Gemara speaks about. Gemara says in Maseches Bava Metzia, we learned this when we were kids in Eilat Metzias, that ein ma'avirin al ha'ochlin. You're not allowed to pass by food that's on the floor and just walk by. So what do you do with it? Do you have to pick up? So you're walking in New York City and you see an abandoned sandwich on the street side. Do you have to pick it up? So halacha, as the Mishnah Berurah says, that you need to pick it up. But Chaim Kanievsky says that nowadays when you can't pick up food, that you could catch corona, especially if it's a half-filled corona. The halacha is that you should move it to the side of the road so that people shouldn't step on it. And that would be adequate. However, That's only if the food is by other food, it has to be fit to be eaten. But if you see something that's on the floor, it's already not fit to be eaten, it's not a problem. But bread, you find bread on the floor, even if the bread is not fit to be eaten, the halacha is still supposed to push it away over the side, so no one should come to step on bread. And then finally, the Mishnah Berurah speaks about this iser of giving food to that's fit for human consumption to an animal. And the Piskei Tshuva, when he brings this down, he's very upset about people who go to the zoo. He says they take their own snacks and they throw it to the animals. That's not okay. Now, some shittos hold that if it's your pet that you are supposed to feed, it's more lenient. So maybe that's where the heter comes that people do feed their pets food that's fit for human consumption. But in the zoo, where you're paying to go there and they're feeding the animal, he's really not happy with people feeding the animals their snacks. You know, you throw the you have a bag of apples. Oh, you know, let's feed it to the animals. You shouldn't be doing that because Allah is a person not supposed to feed.
You should have the machines there.
You put the quarters. Well, the zoos don't like it either because it's bad for the animals. So
yeah, they have their own food. You put the quarters
Misbalance the food that they're eating.
And of course, we can't finish the share without speaking about the fact that all those people who throw bread by Tashlich, you're not allowed to do that. Forget about anything. You're not allowed to feed non-domesticated animals on Yontif. It's halacha chokhara, but people don't know this. They don't know it.
The better one is on Pesach at a zoo. And they're buying the food and giving it to the animals. And
it's chametz. Having enough from chametz. One of the best things I ever saw was when the Six Flags Safari used to have the drive-through.
Yeah.
I went there on Pesach one time, and there was this massive monkey. It was a gorilla or something on the side over there. More than that. It had a chocolate leaven. And it was sitting there putting its finger in and licking the chocolate leaven. And I said to my wife, it's chalmai. What do you want? It's chalmai in Pesach.
Guys, we once fed a whole box of Edmund's donuts, a whole box of Edmund's donuts in that.